Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's a prayer that we all should. That's a prayer I need to pray every day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm excited. I've had a great week. I've had a great couple weeks. I fell off a ladder this week, and Val came and gave me a big old hug, and I said, oh. And it was a, she said, what's wrong? I said, my ribs are sore. She said, well, what happened? I said, I fell off a ladder. Well, I fell off the first step of the ladder, so I fell about that far. But my ribs hit a threshold that was about that far up, and I got up real fast because I was afraid if I laid there very long, I wasn't going to get up. So, but we've had a good week. I can't tell you how excited I am to be serving God. I'm excited. I have the opportunity to be involved, and I want to talk about that this morning. I don't want to bring any condemnation. I don't want to bring any legalism into this message. So don't take it the wrong way. Because it's not about that. It's about freedom in Christ. It's about, you know, about being in the kingdom. And I'm so happy that I'm in the kingdom this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, we're not going to have any overheads this morning. I'm going to start in Ephesians. I'll read a couple verses out of Ephesians. And then I'm going to be going a couple other places as time leads. Had a real strange in the world eyes, a disaster took place in our lives 2 weeks ago. And in the believer's eyes, in Valerie and I's eyes, as servants of the Lord, and as many of you folks will understand, it was an amazing thing that happened. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that, but I'm going to tie it into about, you know, what my responsibility, it wasn't responsibility, that's the wrong word, what the Lord had allowed me to do through that situation. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to start at verse 9. We all know this by heart, or should know most of it by heart. We've heard it many times. I'll actually start in verse 10, then I'll go back. I'm going to start in verse 10. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. I want you to think about that real quick, not just read over it. I know I've been a preacher's kid. You've heard me say this many times. I've read the Bible all my life. I'm about two chapters from finishing the Bible again, reading it again from cover to cover. I want you to understand that a lot of times I don't know about you guys, but I'll read over these words and it's a book. And then you have to go back and think about what you read sometimes. And this is one of the things that I want to point out. We are His workmanship, it says here. We are created in Christ for good works. Now this is the part that really is cool. Which God had prepared ahead of time for Bob Ivins to do, for Kenny McPhee to do, for Gary to do. Ahead of time He has prepared good works for us. Sometimes the things that we do is pretty non-significant, really. But God can take those things in our lives and he can use them in the kingdom. And one of the things that blesses me the most is a lot of times when I'm midstream through those blessings, or sometimes when I'm through those blessings and I look back on it, I realize that God had His hand in that. That He had allowed me. He didn't need Bob Ivins to do it. He just wanted to include me into that blessing because He had prepared that blessing for me before the foundations of the earth. That's when He said He called me. That means so much to me, and it should mean so much to me. That gets me excited, because what's in store for me tomorrow? What's in store for me this afternoon? I'll be at another service this evening at 6 o'clock. What's going to be in that service this evening at 6 o'clock? What has He prepared for me? I'm excited about that. That should excite you, folks. Let's see here. Let's go from Ephesians over to, Psalms, I think. Yeah, Psalms. Chapter 37. I would encourage you folks to read the entire chapter of Psalms 37 this week sometime. Take some time, get alone with God, and read this chapter. It's a powerful chapter. I'm going to be starting at verse 4 and just reading verse 4 and 5. Psalms 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. I've noticed as the longer I walk with the Lord, my desires change. And I'm not saying it because my desires may not be just like your desires, that you have to be like mine. I don't mean that at all, because each one of you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to understand what the Lord is calling you to do. But I notice certain things falling away in my life as I delight myself in the Lord. Certain things that I used to really desire to do, I don't desire to do anymore. And that's such a gift. You know, it takes a while. You walk down that path a little while and you realize, you know, I'm not no longer listening. Now, don't get me wrong, if you like country music, because I'm a country music guy. I mean, I got cowboy boots on. You know, I like country music. But I don't listen to country music anymore. And I love it. I mean, I love them old beer drinking songs. I used to sing, man, I used to, you know, honky tonks. I used to love them. I don't listen to them anymore. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to them. I'm just saying where it takes my mind, I don't do that anymore. Now I listen to the Gaither Brothers. I listen to the Booth Brothers. I listen to these gospel quartets, and it just blesses me. You know, they're Southern gospel quartets, but the things of this world has grown strangely dim, as the word says. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope it continues to do that. My focus is not on this world. My focus is on the kingdom. Okay, we're going to go one more place, and I'm going to tell you a little interesting. Let's go to, if you have your Bible still open, let's see here, let's go to Matthew. Chapter 25, I believe. There again, if you get a chance to read Matthew 25, I'm not going to, for lack of time this morning, I'm not going to do it, but start down at verse 31 and read it to the completion, or read the whole book of Matthew if you really want to get it. But I mean, this is really a good passage of scripture. But I'm going to start at verse 36. I looked this up this week, and it just blessed me. And I'll explain a little bit once I finish reading it. Matthew 25, verse 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whenever you do this for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. About three or four weeks ago now, I'm going to talk about my closet. We all got closets. I'm going to come out of my closet this morning. The little house that we live in right now currently has a walk-in closet. In the walk-in closet, it's one of the biggest rooms we have in our little tiny house. We added it on to our little tiny house because we didn't have any closets. Well, as Bob and Val do, we filled it up to the brim. So I told Val a few weeks ago, I'm going to go through my closet, and I'm going to go through my clothes, and stuff that I haven't worn in the last while, I'm going to get rid of. My closet has a weird effect. The longer it hangs in that closet, the smaller they get. So I wanted to make sure that those bad clothes didn't affect these good clothes, because I had these other clothes that fit. You with me? So the bad clothes had to go. I got rid of them. Piled them all up in a bag. Had a couple bags of clothes. And Val, she's good about going out to these thrift stores. I call them junk stores. Matter of fact, she calls it junking. And she buys stuff, you know. 50 cents, look what I got for 50 cents. You probably bought that dress for 50 cents. I don't know. Huh? A dollar. Okay, please. Now, I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. I thank the Lord for Yellow Mountain and those places. Had these two bags of men's clothing. And I don't buy my clothes at the thrift store. I buy my clothes at the other store. And they had shrunk. So I said, let's bag these clothes up and take them to town. Wherever you get your stuff, give it away. I wasn't going to bring it to the yard sale. I don't have patience for that kind of stuff. I don't go into the junk store with Val. I sat in the car. Not geared that way. So we bagged them up, and Val said, I've got an idea. She said, let's call a preacher friend of mine that has a little hole in his church back on the backside of Beach Mountain and see if he can use them. Men's clothing are not as plentiful in these thrift stores, you know. So we bagged them up, and we called Brother Holsklaw, and Brother Holsklaw said, yes, I need them. I got a guy for them. I said, cool. Come get them. They'll be at 33 Hummingbird, where we're working on this new house we're working on. I never did see them there. Val said they were there. And a week or so went by, and I said, did Bob ever come get those clothes? Now remember what we read. Before the foundations of time, God had prepared a work for us to do. So Val and I are involved in this thing, you know, these shrinking clothes. We're involved together. We're together. I wanted to get rid of them. She wanted to give them to someone. You know, I'd like to take the holy roller part of it, but she's going to end up with it. You know, the blessing part of it, you know. He didn't come get them. He's busy. He runs a roofing company. So the next week, I said, Val, them clothes still there? She said, no, I'll call Bob again. So she called Bob. Bob was working in Land Harbor. He said, I'll have somebody right there. So he did. He sent his son-in-law and a man by the name Paul Clausen. They call him Squeaky. Squeaky Clausen. Showed up. I'd never met Squeaky before. And I'm busy. You know, I fall off ladders. I'm moving. You know, I'm busy. So I'm, you know, this pickup shows up, and I'm in the middle of probably fixing something I already messed up, like I did this week all day, all week, seemed like. Put a brand new wind in this week, last week, and this week I went back and the wind is cracked. It's amazing. So I was probably not in the mood to talk to a whole lot of people. Every once in a while I get phone calls from people and I won't answer them because my car warranty is running out. I'm scared to drive my car. I got 6 phone calls a day because my car warranty is no good. My car's about ready to blow up. So I don't answer the phone every time somebody calls. Pickup pulls up, and these two people jump out, and this little fella and the other guy I recognize. I've known him for years. And it's not my character when I first meet someone to do what I did. But the moment he walked out, shook my hand, he said, man, I'm here to pick up the clothes. I said, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He was rough. Didn't have some of his teeth. Have left. And he was, you could tell he had a rough life. But he had a smile. That's how come I knew he didn't have all his teeth. He was grinning from ear to ear, and he said, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He says, as a matter of fact, he said, I go to Bob Holsklaw's church, and here's a card, man, why don't you come see us? And I'm thinking, dude, this is amazing. And I'm thinking, I wonder why I said that. I mean, I knew why I said it, but it was not normal for me to do that. So they come in the house, and he says, man, this is awesome. He said, I used to hang sheetrock. Who did your sheetrock? And I said, I did it. It took me 6 months. Yeah, he said, it looks amazing. And we talked about the church, and we talked. He was aglow. You could tell this boy grew up on the backside of Beach Mountain. He, you know, if you've never been, there's a few of us been here in here that's been to the backside of Beach Mountain. It's old Appalachia. It's Poe. I mean, it's interesting, and I'll get a little bit more into that. But he was excited about Jesus. He was really excited about those clothes. He was really excited. I didn't think anything about it. I'm just, man, this boy's a Christian. He's got my clothes. He's going to wear my clothes to church. I can't fit in them. I can't wear them to church no more. I was happy about that. That next Sunday, I wasn't here. Valerie and I went to church with him. This pastor has asked me to speak at his church several times. I've yet to do it. I've testified. My testimony is about like a sermon here at that church. It's just a testimony. what the Lord done for you this week. We may go on for 25, 30 minutes, you know, what the Lord's done for me this week. And that's how they have church. They open up church with an altar call. Everybody comes forward to the altar and they pray. And I'm not saying that to spread any condemnation. I'm just saying how much it blessed me. Bob Hoskall got up there and he opened up that service and said, anybody that wants to come down front here and pray, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come be with us this morning. One of the first people at that altar was Squeaky. Squeaky ran up there, knelt down, and Squeaky had issues. Bob's got issues. So I know Squeaky has issues. You know, and he prayed. And we prayed for like 10, 15 minutes over that service. And then we all go back and we sit down. Church about this size. And he says, does anybody have a testimony? I'm thinking, man, this is going to go on all day. You know, that's one thing I like about you guys. Man, lunchtime, we're out of here. No matter what the Holy Spirit's doing, we're out. Now, I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying, hey, that's cool. You know, because we get a better seat at the restaurant. That's the table we're really working on right now, that table. And I'm part of you, so. So he gets back and we sat down. He says, anybody have a word for the Lord? Now, if I said that right now, you know, and I'm not going to because we got to get here by 12 o'clock, you know, Squeaky stood up. I turned around, look, he had my clothes on. It blessed me. He had them rolled. He's a little shorter fellow than I am. He had them rolled up, but he had them on. Had my trousers on, my shirt on, and I said, oh, wow. Squeaky didn't have nothing. I mean, he poor. And it blessed me. He had a word for the Lord. He wasn't ashamed to stand up and praise God for his week, his paycheck, his boss. He went right on down the line. His ability to be here in church and not be dead, not be addicted, not be bound by this world, because he had been bound by this world. For 9 months, he had served God. 9 short months. He was 45 years old. He had served God. And he was happy. He was one of the first people stood up. And then people all over the congregation stood up and testified of what God meant to them, what the Holy Spirit had done with them this week. And I said, that's so cool. I was so blessed. And then Bob preached and we had another altar call and people went and man, I mean, it was so cool. People were serious about it. Not to say that we're not, but it was something I hadn't seen since I was a child. The Holy Spirit move in a place like that. So that, we ran outside after church and Squeaky was out there and the congregation was out there and we all just standing around the parking lot talking, fellowshipping, and Squeaky pulled up on his motorcycle. He had a go-fast bike, Jap bike we call them. No disrespect, I know we got to be politically correct. They're made in Japan. They go fast. That's the acronym for what he was riding. I saw the Cleveland Indians change their name this week. So I know we may have to think about that. We don't want to offend no walnut trees. So I'm just saying, you know, we may have to delve into that. So Squeaky got on his motorcycle and he pulled on off and he left. And it was an awesome service. And we stood out there in fellowship with a bunch of folks that we knew. And that Tuesday morning after that weekend, I was standing out in front of my house and Bob Holsklaw pulls up in his pickup and his work van's behind him. And he's working on the house next door that I used to own that I've since sold. And they were doing some flashing on the roof. And he thanked me for coming, man, for church and, you know, how much it meant to him. And he was just really patting me on the back for showing up and giving the clothes to Paul and, you know, blessing them. You know, I don't think we paid tithes here that week. I think we paid them over there. So that was cool. So the storehouse changed that week. And behind him in the white van was Paul Clausen, Squeaky. Squeaky, the window wouldn't roll down in the van, so he had opened the door, man. He got out, man, I appreciate you coming to church. And, you know, it sounded like, you know, this guy should be an assistant pastor at that church. I mean, this guy's, he's on fire. He's carrying the man's business cards around. He got his name on it. He had church cards around. And thank me for the clothes again. And he's just glowing. This guy's on, you know, I can tell if you're excited. I mean, I don't have the gift of discernment, but I got common sense. And if you're excited about Jesus, I can tell it. If you're not excited about Jesus and you don't show it, then maybe I'm just, you know, misreading that. This guy, you couldn't deny he was on fire. With all the issues he still had, I'm sure he still had baggage issues. He sure had sin issues, addiction issues. Oh, I'm not sure. I didn't, you know, we never got that far. But he stopped on Tuesday and just wanted to let me know again how much it meant. Saturday, that following Saturday, this was Tuesday, morning about 9:30. About 1 o'clock, Valerie and I are in Johnson City. Over there getting some gasoline. We'll ride 50, 60 miles to get gas for 2 cents cheaper a gallon. And then we'll have lunch. We save money doing that, I think. So she keeps the books. She says we do. So we go over and get gas in Johnson City. Pretty soon it'll be Knoxville. And the phone rings. And it's Sean Cummings, the guy that bought my mold remediation business, been here a few times. He said, man, I got some news. I don't want to bring you down. He said, well, I thought you'd want to know. He said, Squeaky got killed last night on the motorcycle, head-on collision. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, brother, I'm sorry for the family. Breaks my heart for the family. Whatever family was there, I don't know. I said, but that's not the first time in my lifetime that I've seen that happen. Where a person that God chose, I believe in predestination. I believe that I didn't do anything to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I didn't even have enough sense. I was dead in my sins and transgressions. When he saved Bob Ivins, he opened a casket. And when he saved Squeaky Clawson, he opened a casket because we were dead men. I believe that with all my heart. Not only was I dead, once I was risen from the dead, I needed a heart transplant because my heart was dark. And once I got the heart transplant, I needed to have eyes to see because I was blind. I couldn't see. And once I got a little bit of sight, I needed him to open my ears because I couldn't hear him. So I saw all that happen in Squeaky's life. And then he's gone. I worked with a man one time at Tagalong Trailers in Centerville, Maryland. We built 50-ton detachable gooseneck trailers, big trailers, for hauling bulldozers and track hoes and all kind of big heavy equipment. A guy by the name of Frank Lane was one of the most contrarian. He was probably my age at that time, and I was 19. And he was the most miserable man to work around. He cursed and carried on through stuff. He ran the tool room. We always had a guy in there. He's probably like Kenny Axett, where he works, Underwood. He was the man. You had to go to Frank to get anything. Frank ran the tool room. So if you needed whatever you needed that day to do your job, if you needed welding rods, if you needed wrenches, if you needed tires, whatever you needed in that construction, you had to go to Frank. Frank was evil. I scared death of him. He was evil. I mean, he was just like, he knew he was playing it up, like Charlie does. He was playing it up. He was mean, especially to young guys. What happened? Charlie met a woman. He was single. Old man, no wonder he was single. He was mean. Met a woman, and she took him to a revival, and he accepted Jesus Christ. I can't show up one Monday morning. This man is just like Squeaky. He's glowing. This man's like, man, what? And I knew, my dad was, I was living at the parsonage at that time in my life. I knew there'd been a transformation. This was a new man. Frank had changed. And he was talking about Jesus and this revival meeting and how he went to the altar and gave his heart to the Lord and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be cool. He's going to be a lot easier to deal with now. He wasn't that much different when it came to dealing with him, but he had found Jesus. About a week later, I worked up in the office. I was in charge. I was a one-man design department for this, like you guys do. There was one person did it, and I did it. Trailers went down the road crooked, backwards. I mean, it was best. It was a mess. But that was my job. I designed. 18 years old, 19 years old, right out of high school. It was a trip. But it was a great job. And I was sitting in my office at my big drawing board. That was back before computers. You had T-squares and, all this stuff, And I was laying out some plans and drawing them up. And I heard what sounded like a bomb explode. It literally shook the building. It literally shook me. I mean, the whole building was a metal building like you guys work. I mean, it just shook the building, a big building. And I ran downstairs and I ran out into the shop. and Frank Lane have been decapitated. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm not saying this but I'm just saying. This man hadn't known Jesus Christ 2 weeks. And he's in heaven today. Now, I believe my salvation is secure. I'm not saying if he'd have lived and went back and forth and whatever, same way it was squeaky. But I've seen it happen many times. And by seeing that as a young kid, seeing Frank, I understood what happened to Squeaky. There's a scripture in, I think, in Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2, talks about that. That in Israel at that time was so wicked that God was actually removing people from the earth so they wouldn't suffer in the iniquities that they were about to face. And that's what happened to Squeaky. And I was so glad that I was a part of it. I was so glad that something that sounded like me getting rid of clothes and Val saying that she's going to give them to Bob, that I only met Squeaky 3 times in my life. And I'll remember Squeaky until I see him again. And it won't be long. I'm going to see Squeaky again. So I got a phone call as soon as Sean called me and said Squeaky had died on a motorcycle. He was going through Rhone Mountain. Somebody pulled out in front of him. And he went airborne and he was dead on impact. Said he wasn't a scratch on him. Bike tore all to pieces. Bike made the impact. He probably broke his neck in the fall or something. I don't know. Snapped it when he hit the car. I don't know. Bob Holsall called and said, we're having a funeral. And it's going to be at Walnut Mountain Holiness Church. Like for you to come. Squeaky thought a lot of you. Squeaky only met me 3 times. And I'm not saying this because I'm special. I don't mean it. Don't take that wrong. Please don't. Because you all know I'm not. You know me well enough. But I was blessed to be a part of that. So we all load up on Sunday morning, Val and I and Sean. And we tried to find it on the internet. Well, it wasn't on the internet. Walnut Mountain Church came up as a Baptist church on the backside of Beach Mountain, and I knew it wasn't that. I couldn't get a hold of Bob, but Bob did tell me you go to the end of the pavement, it turns to gravel, and you keep going. Well, I'd been across Walnut Mountain Road before from Hampton over to the Rhone Mountain. It's a beautiful ride. If you ever want to take about a 6-hour ride going about 30 miles, that's the ride. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You won't have cell phone service. The lady is not going to call you about your car warranty. You won't have AAA service, so you have to change your own tire. It's good. It's good stuff. But we've been across there before. We got down into this bottom one when we came there the first time. Like I said, we left from the lake and was coming toward Rhone Mountain, Lake Watauga. We come down in this little hollow, and it was rough. It's like the first village. You can't first sign of humanity that we had seen for hours. And it was called Clawson's Hollow. I know Kenny and I talked about it. Kenny had been back there with the sheriff. Kenny ain't going to go by himself. He's going to make sure somebody, he had a gun, sheriff had a gun. You know, that's Clawson's Hollow. So we get up on Sunday morning, we get out headed that way, and we get to the gravel. The road branches off with the same name of the road to go straight. Buck Mountain Road goes to the left. Buck Mountain Road goes straight ahead. I didn't know if it was, you know, I had my GPS on my car. It was working, but it didn't show the Holiness Church. So we kept going. And all of a sudden, I look up around the bend, and I see another vehicle. I said, surely they're going to that service. Would nobody in their right mind be back in here that's got a vehicle that runs? It was. The one we were following was a really nice vehicle. That's why I knew they were going there. So we followed them on up there and pulled in left hand, and there was this little cement block church about the size of one half of this building. I don't know who built it. Well built, whether it was an Appalachian service project or there was no steeple, no name, no website, no telephone number, no pastor's name, nothing. But I knew I was at the right place because there was a big black hearse sitting there. I said, this is the place. There's only 3 or 4 cars there when we got there. So we walk in, and you could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place. It was primitive. And the first guy came up to me, man, you could tell he was broke up. And he said, "Hey, my name is Mouse. Mouse Clausen." That's Squeaky's brother, Mouse and Squeaky. And I think there was about 15 of them. Because their oldest brother was the pastor, and he was Charlie's age. And I'm serious, he was an older man. And everybody had a name. Yeah, you're older. You're an older man. I didn't say old man. You're an older man. I look up to you because of that. So keep that in mind. But you could feel the Holy Spirit in that place. You could feel it. And there's a casket up front. And there's 10 people in the building. And Bob Holskall is going to preach the service. I'd so love to have Bob come preach the service here. He's my buddy. You have to take the clock down, but he's my buddy. And he gets closer and closer and closer, and we sang a few songs, and pretty soon it's standing room only. The place is packed. Everybody in that hollow and everybody around that hollow came to that service. Everybody knew Squeaky. You know, I don't think Squeaky probably ever won anybody while he was breathing. I don't know this for a fact, but I doubt and seriously that Squeaky ever led anybody to the Lord while he was breathing air, while he was on this earth. There's 9 months that his life was changed. I don't believe that he probably led anybody to the Lord. I don't know that. But he was very elementary in his walk, which is perfect. I don't think if he'd have lived longer, I think he would have grown because he had that exuberance. Bob started preaching, and it was a celebration. And he started preaching about salvation. And people started going to the altar, and they started crying out before the Lord. And pretty soon the people that were sitting there started going up praying for those people. And it was an amazing thing to be a part of. There's going to be people walking alongside of Squeaky Clausen in glory that Squeaky never witnessed to. But by his service, and Bob did an awesome service about how he had met him in a grocery market there in Roan Mountain, little market there, and knew him, knew his family, everybody knew the Clausens. Said, "You got to be a Clausen." He said, "Yeah, I'm Squeaky." And he said, "Man, you need a job." He said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do." And he went to work for him, Bob had been with that man for 9 months, 7 days a week. Worked 6 days a week and went to church together on Sunday. He knew him. He said Squeaky was a changed man. The Jesus that we serve is in that business. He changed that man. It was an amazing thing. Started getting toward the end of the service. The service all about salvation. All about, you know, surrendering your heart to the Lord. No better time than this. And Bob went on and on. He said, "There's one more. There's one more. Won't you please come?" I hadn't heard an altar call like that since I was a boy. I've seen the Holy Spirit fall on a preacher and not let that preacher close the service. Won't let him do it. If you've been hanging around with holiness people, Pentecostal people that have altar calls every service, it kind of gets redundant. Saving to save. You're going to get born again. But he wouldn't let him do it. He said, "There's one more." And I'm thinking, "Bob, come on, man. You know, I'm hungry." You know, we'd already saved 2 dozen people. That's enough for today. You know, I'm Presbyterian. You know, you don't get carried away with this. He said, "There's one more." And I'm thinking, surely not. And he went on for like 15 minutes more, saying, "There's one more. I can't stop." And finally, he said, "Let's all stand. We're going to pray the benediction." He's crying. This man's broken for this soul that he's afraid is going to slip through his hands. He's broken. I know Bob Holskall. He's a man. He's not a man. You know, you walk up, hit him upside the head, he ain't gonna cry. You better run. He's not a man, but he's got a tender heart for lost souls. He's broken. He says, "One more." I don't know in this morning if there is one more in this building. I hope everybody in here knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I do know in this building there's people that have issues, because I do. There's people that have addiction issues. There's people have parts of the world still hanging on to their life. There's parts of our life that we haven't perfected yet. We're struggling with. I know that's in any building we go in today. I pray that everybody here knows Jesus Christ this morning. But I also pray that everybody here has a desire to grow closer, has a desire to put this world away, has a desire to quit making idols of this world that we so readily make, that we can get rid of, as John the Baptist that preceded Jesus, and as Jesus spoke and as Paul spoke, come out of this world. Set yourselves apart. The church is in rough shape in America today, folks. We don't have any authority or any power. We've given it up. We've taken the easy road. I have. And I speak a lot, and I know you have, because I know you folks. And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm not saying how this should look. I'm not going over there and say you got to do this, and you got to wear this, and you got to act like this, and you can't say this, and you can't chew this, and you can't smoke this. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you need to come out of this world. We're in the last days. We're in the last days, folks. You know, it's funny. I read a story this week about a young Midwestern kid that had grown up in the church. Went to church every Sunday. His parents were Christians. His family was Christian. And when he got to the age of accountability, when he got old enough to leave the home, he started delving into Islamic belief. This is a white boy from the Midwest. I've got it written down. I can show it to you. It's in an article, in a Christian article. He starts delving into ISIS and the jihad, the holy war, they call it. This young man ends up in Syria. That looks like me and you when we were that age. From a well-off middle-class family. Church-going family. He was looking for something more. He was looking for something to give his life for. He was looking for a reason for being. Now, he was messed up. He was deceived. Satan had deceived that young man. But what he was looking for, he didn't find in the church. Forgive us for that. Something worth laying our lives down for. Something for giving up everything that we do that matters more than Jesus. That's where it's at, folks. That's where it's at. He says, come out of this world. I don't mean you go off and live in the woods and don't comb your hair and brush your teeth and take a bath. I don't mean that. But that means the most important thing in your life. What you should talk about the most. What you should read about the most. What your desire should be the most is to know Jesus. You got to know him, folks. I just finished a book by A.W. Pink, The Attributes of God. Our minds cannot comprehend this. Be careful that you don't make God up here. He's much greater than that. So Bob went on with his altar call. Stopped his altar call. Everybody stood up for the benediction, he said. And he starts praying, and tears are running down his face. And it was the most dramatic experience that I've ever seen in a church. And I've been in a church 10,000 times. I've been in a church once. The most dramatic experience I've ever seen. About two sentences into that benediction, a man about 30 years old, one of the best dressed men in that place, looked like a military guy, high and tight, built, good clothes on like me, says, it's me. It's me. He's sitting back here and he runs to the altar. The last person in that building I would have expected that to happen to. And when Bob sees him coming, he breaks down and just bawls, wails, and throws his arm around him, and they pray. And he welcomes them into the kingdom. Folks, Squeaky Clausen's got people going to be in heaven because God is faithful. Not us, Because God is faithful. Don't rely on your faith. I mean, we're supposed to have faith. That's good. But we're never going to save anybody, heal anybody, do anything based on our faith. It's on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, please don't turn this education and let it interrupt your revelation. Because that's what it'll do. We'll make notes and we'll take notes and we'll come here every Sunday for 45 minutes and we'll leave here and repeat that time and time and time again. That's not what it's called to do. I ask every morning when I pray, when I get before the Lord every morning and I pray, Lord, use me today. Open doors today. Don't let a day go by that I can't tell somebody about Jesus. Don't let a day go by that I can't lift you up. Lead me not into temptation, because I'm prone to do that. Deliver me from evil, because I'm prone to do that too. If I don't say something nasty to you, I'll think it. This week, a lady came by our house, and Caleb Newton and his beautiful fiance was visiting from Campbell University, and we had met them. I've known Caleb now almost as long as I've known Jacob. And they're a weird bunch of people. I'm going to tell you, that folks from Campbell are weird. Ruth, I tell you, they're weird. It's good to have Jacob and Ruth this morning. But they believe in prayer. They believe in healing. They believe in laying hands on people. And we were standing in Hummingbird Lane in Land Harbor this week, and this lady comes by, and she's got a couple, what they call stents. She's got some issues. She got stuff that are pumping in her body so much that she needs stents, two of them. And she's standing there, and she's telling us this, and you can hear it in her voice. She's a young lady, and she's scared. And Val said, "We'll pray for you. Bless your heart. I appreciate that." Wood Caleb says, "We'll pray for you now." And Caleb jumps up, and Bob jumps up, and Val jumps up, and what's Caleb's girlfriend's name? Elizabeth, yeah, you've told me twice now. Elizabeth jumps up. And we lay hands on that lady and we pray for her in the middle of Hummingbird Lane. That morning, I prayed for that. That morning, I asked God to do that. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to ask Him to do it again. There's 20 people a week stop by my house now and I can't get anything done. Praise God. I'm putting up stuff wrong and I'm doing all kind of crazy stuff. But soon, electric company was there this week and said, "Man, there's somebody at your house all the time. I pray for that daily. I want to get involved. I want to be down in Clausen's Hollow. We don't have to go to Guatemala. We don't have to go to Nicaragua. If you're called to go, go. But if you want to help somebody, all you got to do is go 10 miles off the road here in any direction. And there's folks that need it. There's folks that want it. Yeah, they have issues like us. Theirs is just more visible. We have enough money to hide theirs. Sweep them under the rug. Don't talk about them things. God help me to be His light." So if you need prayer this morning, if you want to talk to me more, I want to start a such study at some point. I was talking to Kenny about this. If you've never heard of this book, Insurgents, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom, it's a book. It's got a lot of pages. I don't know how many. I've read it once through, and I'm on my second reading. It changes the way we do things. It changes the way we think about things. It makes, when it says, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come," that's not when we get there. Certainly it's going to be there when we get there. It's there now. He wants us to live that kingdom life here. He wants to experience that freedom and that blessing. Knowing Squeaky Clausen for 3 times changed my life. It changed my life. Knowing Jacob Yelton working with me one summer changed my life. We have a huge impact on people, Jacob. We have a huge impact on people. I don't want to talk about Trump. I don't want to talk about the Democrats and Republicans. I don't want to talk about the Olympics. I'll talk about it with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be rude. I want to talk about what Jesus did for you this week and what He's going to do for you today, what He's going to do for you next week. The world wants it. We're sending our church kids off to Syria because they can't find what we're talking about and how we're living. Man, God, forgive us. I love you, folks. It's good news. We're involved in a great thing. Don't stop. Don't stop. The insurgents. A splinter group for Jesus. A cell group for Jesus. Give me 5 people in this building that's willing to live for the kingdom. And we'll change the state of North Carolina. Give me 5 people that's willing to give up this world and focus on the kingdom. We'll change the world. It's supernatural, folks. It's not my faith. It's Him being faithful. He's already promised it. So if you want to talk to me more about it, I'll hang around as long as you want to. If you want to feed me, I'll eat with you. But I thank you for the opportunity. We serve a mighty God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Walnut Grove. I'm so thankful for these people. I'm so thankful how they reach out, Father. I'm so thankful that they're here listening to me, Father. I hope you spoke through me this morning and it resonated in their lives, Father. I hope this week will be different in my life, in their life, Father. I hope there's more squeakies ahead. I hope there's more men and women that we can put our arms around and say, I love you. But most importantly, Jesus loves you. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what we see on TV, no matter who's in office, who's not in office, who didn't get elected, who got cheated, I don't care. You're my God and you're my King. And I want to serve you to the fullest. Father, be with these people this week. Keep your hands on them. Keep them safe until we come back together, Father. I pray for anyone in this building that doesn't know you personally, doesn't know what I'm talking about. I pray for any person in this building wants to know more. Father, I pray that any person that feels called, Father, to work in the kingdom. And I thank you for that opportunity. I just ask you to go with us in Jesus' name this week. Amen.